Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, welcome as we gather in worship this morning here at Wayside as we begin the season of Advent, a time when we prepare our hearts to welcome the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. A wonderful turn of events that in welcoming Christ, we also are welcomed by Christ. Certainly, that is our hope here as people in this place and of this congregation, that wherever you find yourself in your journey of life and faith, that you will know that you are welcome here. As we begin our worship, let me direct your attention to the number of announcements that are in the bulletin, and especially the Worship Plus 2 announcements that are in there. There is an announcement about the upcoming Rise Against Hunger event coming in February. There's a place to sign up already in the lobby for that, if you would check that out. There's also an event noted, the Multicultural Dining Club. Did you want to say something about that? Gary?
I will wait my turn.
Okay, all right, okay. In anticipation of that exciting announcement, we'll turn to other announcements this morning.
If you have children in fifth grade or younger, there is a devotional guide on the table for you to take home. If your family is not there, there are extra ones on the left-hand side, or maybe you have a grandchild that you'd like to give one to. We'd love for you to hand that out. The other thing is the intergenerational today. We made Advent wreaths with greens and with wreath. We have 5 wreaths frames left over. We have tons of greens. So please take them if that's something that you'd like to do. There are sets of candles to go with most of them. They're in the fellowship hall. Thank you very much.
If you take a look out in the lobby, the angel tree has all the tags off. We are so happy. There are some little white tags out there that we'd like to do some shopping, additional shopping for the children. So if you didn't get a chance to take a tag, please feel free to take one of those white ones, and we will buy gift cards with them and then go shopping for the children to fill in the blanks that we'd like to. All of the gifts are due back next Sunday, but if you're out running around, please feel free to drop them off during the week because they'll be sorted and ready for distribution earlier then. So thank you very much for your help in this project.
Let me remind all the announcers as they're coming that we need to keep them briefer so that we're not here till 3.
Okay, I have 2 flower announcements. One, today is the last day to order poinsettia. They will be delivered next Friday and placed up near the communion table. Second is that the new list for 2018 is out. There are some perpetual donors on that list. If there is nothing in the blank for a certain date, you may sign up. So please do that soon.
Just a quick announcement. Next week is the annual holiday cookie sale for the Presbyterian women. It's a great mission project. All the funds go to the Presbyterian Women's Mission Fund. We are most in need of cookies to go on the trays. We don't have as many donors this year, so if you're feeling motivated, please sign up. All the information is actually in your bulletin. You can contact either of the ladies in charge, but they will be on sale a week from today. So please sign up to donate cookies, or next week come get a tray and enjoy them. Thanks.
Like Maria sings in one of my favorite movies, the hills are alive with the sound of music. Well, the parlor walls are alive with brilliant, brilliant colors. So please come after the service to see our newest art show and meet our featured artist, Kathy McGregor. Thank you.
And for all the ladies of the church, tonight is the Presbyterian Women's Christmas gathering. We, at 7 o'clock, will be here in the parlor. Dawn and the Way Youth have put together a wonderful Christmas program for us, so we're looking forward to that. You need not bring anything. We will have dessert and good fellowship, and we look forward to seeing you then. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm not asking for money. Just a little bit of your time and a little petrol in your gas tank. Elizabeth and Mika are in need of rides to church. If anybody hasn't met them, we could meet them at the back of the church after the service. We need a few more people to join our ride group until she gets her license. Thank you.
I was asked when the next dinner is, and I couldn't remember. It's all there.
Well, friends, let us rise as brothers and sisters in Christ and greet one another this morning. As we prepare for our Advent candle lighting with Chris and Nikki, you'll notice at the beginning of that, there is a portion that we're going to sing. It's from the Advent hymn, "While We Are Waiting, Come." And so I'm going to ask Dawn to play through that once, and then we'll sing it all together.
In the time of Moses, long ago, you came down to us.
The mountain was covered with cloud, and the earth shook with sounds of your word.
Oh, that you would open up the door of heaven again and come down to us, so that all the earth would know your word.
We await the one true word who will lead all nations. We await the one who comes to guide us in peace.
Let us in peace kindle the light of the Lord.
Like a faded, dried-up leaf that the wind blows away, our sins dry us up. Faded and brittle, we're carried off by wrong hearts and wrong choices. Yet, God loves us still and is able to restore and renew us with the water of life. Join with me in the prayer of confession. God with us, even in Advent, we confess that you can seem far away. You are hidden when we need you near. In our hurt, doubt, and fear, we do not try to draw closer to you. Instead, we lash out against you, our neighbor, even those we love.
Forgive us, we pray, and come to save us. Let your face shine until our tears are dried, our sins are faded, and our hope is restored. After all, we belong to you, and in your hands we can be made new. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The grace of God in Jesus Christ strengthens us so that we may, when Christ comes, be ready. Thanks be to God, who is faithful and holds us in the fellowship of Christ, God's Son. Amen. Be seated.
It's always a blessing to have the children in church, so I'd like to invite them to come up. Good morning, everyone. You all look very, very nice today. Thanks for coming to church. I'd like to have you vote on something in just a minute. I'm going to give you a question and then five answers, and you pick the one that suits you. What's your favorite way to wait for Christmas? Number one, decorate your house in the church. Number two, sing Christmas carols or listen to Christmas music. Three, watch TV shows about Christmas. Four, eat cookies and candy. Five, go shopping. I was asking the early service shopping for what, and I said, well, you got to have groceries and you got to have presents. All right, so think of it that way. So how many of you would vote to say your favorite way to wait is decorating your house in the church? All right. Number two, sing Christmas carols or listen to Christmas music. Oh, we got one vote on that. Two votes, all right. Watch TV shows about Christmas. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I love The Grinch. Number four, eat cookies and candy. All right. Now, it's hard to pick one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and number five, go shopping. All right. How many of you would do all five? Oh, yeah, that's the best answer. Those are all the best way to do it. All right. Look around. Believe it or not, there is a color in the sanctuary that teaches us about waiting. What are the main colors you see? Yes.
I see green, white, and purple.
Purple. Purple's the one. Purple is an idea color. It suggests that we should wait inside our hearts and inside our minds. That's great. It's a great color. I do too. So the Spiritual Nurture Education Committee bought you and your families a guide for this season. It comes with a setup of a nativity of Bethlehem and the sky. And it comes with Bible stories to read for each day. And each day you'll learn about one of the characters or parts of the story. And there's a sticker to go with it. And so you'll begin to fill up your scene with parts, creatures, and people of the story, and also the heavens with angels. And as it fills up, you'll know more and more about why Christmas is worth waiting for and why it's important to us. So I'm hoping that this becomes one of your favorite ways of waiting for Christmas. Yes?
We have that in my house.
You already got it already? High five.
Me too.
All right. I'm proud of you guys. That's great. I'm hoping the rest of you will get one. And if perchance my computer missed one of your families, would you please make sure you get one on the table, because I want you to have one. Okay? And then let me know it wasn't there, and I'll make sure we checked on it. But if you have some friends or cousins, too, who don't go to our church and you don't want to take them, there's one left,
I hope you'll take it with you. Let's say a prayer. Oh God, it's hard to wait sometimes. Help us not just sit around, but fill our time with good things to do for others and for ourselves. And may then the time pass quickly for us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you all say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. The prayer for illumination. Please join with me. God of grace, heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will endure. May we pay attention so that with the Spirit's power, we will remember your ways and with joy do what is right, ready to meet you when and where you appear. Amen. The Hebrew scripture reading this morning is Isaiah 64, 1 through 9. It can be found on page 694 in your Bibles. The first reading today is from Isaiah 64, 1 through 9, found in the Old Testament of the Hebrew scriptures on page 694. The prophet picks up images from the story of Exodus in asking that God might come powerfully to set right a world and a people who are in turmoil. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry, and when we sinned, because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We will fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The Christian scripture reading today is Mark 13, 24 through 37. We had a little bit of a typo, and it's on page 50 in the New Testament. Jesus picks up apocalyptic images from the Old Testament to express the need to be watchful as we wait for God. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in from clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his own work, and commands the doorkeeper to be put on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will be coming, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. The word of the Lord.
As I wrestled with the many implications of the scriptures for this week and tried to decide which direction to go, I was attracted by a message I read midweek. It was from a friend in Minnesota who is dismayed at the fall from grace of two of her favorites, my homeboys, she called them, Senator Al Franken and the cultural icon Garrison Keillor. She's just sick about it. She expressed that this was starting off her Christmas time with depressing reality. I noticed that Chris Thiele on public radio last night was lamenting these painful incidents too. The scriptures for this Sunday, I think, though, have instructions for my friend and for all of us in this moment in time, where even as Christmas lights begin to glow in many places and as inflatables fill many yards, the words of Scripture ask us to hold on just a moment, because it is within and to the heights and depths of reality that the Messiah comes. The Savior we await has never waited for us to get ready as if we really could. And now that is something truly to be grateful for. I was struck also by the statement of Savannah Guthrie this week, another popular media reference. She's the person who worked as a co-anchor on NBC with Matt Lauer, and I don't guess that everyone knows, but I'm likely you know that he was fired by NBC due to allegations of impropriety toward workplace colleagues. What struck me about Guthrie's words is that she acknowledged her heartbreak. Heartbreak that her friend and co-worker had been doing these terrible things, but especially heartbreak because she had been so focused on her own work, her own life, the advancement of her career that she had not seen or acknowledged what others were enduring and the culture of her workplace. She admitted she was heartbroken for her coworkers, for them, and for her blindness to them. Heartbreak. Heartbreak is a powerful word. We use it to name our emotions at an important endpoint. In the words that Jesus recycles from the Hebrew Scriptures, these apocalyptic images for certain, but really, if you ponder them, they also sound like illustrations of heartbreak. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. Even the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Those are some words. And this is where Advent
begins. To prepare for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to acknowledge the start of a new day, we begin with the ending of the old. Jesus instructs us about his coming to the world in power by using two little parables. First, an illustration. A greening branch of the fig tree, Jesus tells us, indicates that a new season is approaching, which is a neat idea that nature itself testifies to the power and the intention of God. It's there for our eyes to see. Why, even here in our region, far, far from where a fig tree would have much of a chance, even here, the buds on the tips of the rhododendron, even if covered by snow, tell of a spring that, though it's still far away, it is certain to come. It is certain to come. And the other parable Jesus tells is almost a parallel to Isaiah. If you were listening, Isaiah sounds pretty anguished and frustrated at his sense of God's absence. Well, Jesus' second parable encourages us to think about how to live during such a sense of absence. We're taught to be alert, to be awake to the possibilities of the day of Christ coming unexpectedly. Now, often the way this scriptural idea is talked about, the rapture or whatever, the coming of Christ can almost sound like bad news, something to be scared of. Richard Heath, my friend and fellow tenor in our tiny choir in Illinois, had an irreverent joke about such scriptures. Richard would say, "Jesus is coming. Quick, everybody, look busy." I told you it was irreverent. I don't believe these scriptures are meant to be bad news, as if we or anyone must live in fear of being caught unaware, because surely, surely we're going to be caught unaware. The story of Jesus' birth is about a whole cosmos and culture and empires and religions caught completely unaware. So the quest for us is to develop our awareness, as meager as it is. To see the buds on the rhododendron. If you have rhododendrons at your house, go outside today and go look at those buds. Go check those out. Or go find some around the church here and take to heart the God-given hope that they represent. They are a message to us. We're to keep on pressing toward the realm of God that is revealed by Jesus. We learn to be ready to respond as faithfully as we can when it is evident to us that Christ is calling us to act or to speak or to pray. To use another of Isaiah's ideas, we are to be clay that's available and formable and constantly reformable to the hands of God, the cosmic potter. Or to use another common metaphor, I'm sure all of us have missed the bus in our lives of faith. We've missed the chance to respond as we should have, only to realize it later. Or maybe we were standing at the bus stop when God's way was powerfully evident to us, and though we felt the tug and we saw how we should respond, we refused to get on. But still, I don't think Jesus is teaching that there is a threat for us, as if God is trying to catch us asleep on the job. Jesus is teaching about the certainty of God's redeeming and reforming the world in the coming and the presence of the Messiah. Jesus teaches that we are able to grow in our depth and our awareness and our participation in what God is doing. We just don't always know when and how that hour or that day is coming. This is why we need to grow in our awareness. Usually, I believe that that day means the end of something that needs to end. Even something we have become so accustomed to that we actually fight its ending. It's heartbreaking, but it's also the coming of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is freedom glimpsed finally by those who have endured what must have been for them the absence of God. For the many people, many women whose claims have been ignored or downplayed for years, this Advent season must be dawning differently. Like in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, where the saints cry out, "How long, O Lord, how long?" There is now vindication for some, even if only in part. And there is the hope that caring, fair, and just treatment can be expected, and that there are consequences for actions that wound the spirit and break the soul. It's good news that even in the dark days of despair, in times when God seems absent, God comes. And that means the dawning of a new day. For those people who've been found out for their deeds, this too is good news, though it likely does not feel like it. The opportunity is present to be reshaped by divine hands into a person of conscience who might learn to respond to other people with a perspective on who they are and what they need. The Lord comes in judgment with the power of hope that all lives might be redeemed and healed. Amen.
If you would please turn with me to the prayers of our community that we offer throughout the week and together as one people. We continue to pray for all those folks who are listed here, people we love and care about. We're grateful for those who serve around the world in so many good ways. The Plummer Presbyterian Church is in our prayers from Oil City, and missionaries of the PCUSA throughout the world. Let us prepare ourselves for prayer. Holy Spirit, the daylight shortens, the darkness deepens this time of year, both out of doors and inside of us. We have our doubts that one Christmas day can undo the challenges and worries that we face. But maybe a whole season of your coming to us would help. A little bit of light here, a little bit of insight there. A thoughtful word or an unexpected gesture of kindness might brighten us and others. We will shop for Christmas, but we pray each day for your advent in us. It's difficult to be ill any time of year, but the holidays are especially hard. Only some measure of healing might help. So to you we look for strength and health. For those for whom healing is not an option, then may your embrace be for them a balm. Peace is always a theme of our Advent journey, and this year it seems elusive once more. We keep hoping for our leaders and other world leaders to see wisdom, but that appears to be a pipe dream. So once more, we return to you in hopes that you will bring wisdom where there seems to be little, calm where tensions are high, compassion where there's only been hate. bring your Advent light to our world. Our adult ideas have run their course in so many corners of our lives. We need a rebirth in us so that we can live with childlike innocence once more. Hear our prayers, Holy Spirit, and send us the light of Christ, we pray, in his sacred name. Amen. We make our offering out of gratitude to God and our hope for the world. We are hope-filled people, for we have received good gifts from God, and we know that God's love extends to all people everywhere. In sharing of what we have and dedicating ourselves to ministry, we participate in God's generosity. Let us be about God's work. Bless our good gifts, O God, to all who need them most. Bless our efforts to care for one another. Bless our ministry to children, teens, and adults in this place. Bless our ministry to those who are in need. Bless our ministry to people in lands far away. And may we ever encourage one another to live lovingly and generously for the sake of your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say, Amen.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are carrying life's burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit. Take my yoke upon you and find rest for your souls." Friends, this is the joyful feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he invites all who trust in him to come and share in this feast, for this is why he has given it to us. Friends, it doesn't matter what your tradition in Christ or your affiliation in Christ. This is the Lord's table. And as you come trusting in him, you are welcome here. As we are served the elements today, you're invited to hold the bread and then the cup until the appropriate words are spoken that we might partake together as one body in Christ. Now let us prepare our hearts as we sing the communion hymn. You may remain seated. Please join with me in the beginning of the great prayer of thanksgiving. God be with you. Let us open our heart. Let us give thanks to God. Holy God, in times past, we looked for you in heavenly eclipses. We listened for you in howling winds. We learned of you in quaking mountains. But now we give you praise and thanks because we know that you will be found among us. And you will not be hidden in the glitter of a shopping mall, but found in a welcoming space for those without a place to call home. You will not be heard in the lure of a sales pitch, but in the cry of a newborn child. You will come not in the comforts of the privileged, but swaddled in the needs of the neglected.
We've heard how you choose a people. You chose a people. How you gave them commandments to guide them, and how you remained faithful to them when they struggled to remain faithful to you. We've heard how your prophets called them to lives of faith. I promise that you were always with them, and how in the fullness of time you came in human flesh to reveal the power and the tenderness of your great love to all people.
At the table, O God, Jesus gave us these signs of bread and wine to always remind us of his life laid down for us and for the world. May we be nourished by your word and spirit revealed to us in these gifts. May our eyes be opened in this Advent season that we might witness the appearance of angels. Open our ears that we might hear the testimony of the shepherds. Open our hearts that we might ponder the secrets of Mary. And open our mouths that we might sing and shout the good news of the coming of the Lord, even as we join our voices to gladly pray the prayer Jesus taught us, our Father.
On the night of his arrest, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Throughout the ages and in many cultures, there have been many kinds of bread. If you're unable to eat wheat, this is for you the body of Christ.
And then after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, remembering me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes again.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," and so he is. Let us feed on him in our hearts with thanksgiving.
This is the cup of blessing, the cup of Christ's salvation, given in love. Drink of it all.
Let us pray. God of grace, now send us into this Advent season, fed on bread and wine at your feast table, and nourished by your word and spirit, so that we may journey in faithfulness to Bethlehem. As we go our way, heighten our awareness, increase our expectation, sharpen our vision, and tune our ears that we may see and hear your grace. Give us hands and hearts and voices ready to serve you by serving the world you have come to save. In the name of Jesus Christ, let all God's people say, Amen.
Amen. Final words of that hymn give us all the benediction, perhaps, that we need. But let us remember those words from Scripture today. As Jesus says, what I say to one, I say to all. Keep awake. Let us remain awake and alert for the signs, for the evidence of God's grace at work, and that we may be agents of that very thing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship, the comfort, the power of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.